Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. Today is Thursday, July 25th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, I welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our brand new website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in today to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find all the great Ware products here.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at MountHealthy.com. That's MTHealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Let me first and foremost thank everybody for tuning in today. That includes the folks that can actually get into the chicken chat room. We appreciate you doing so. It's always a fun time in the chicken chat room. If you can't get into the chat room, I understand sometimes the different types of browsers don't let you in there or based on your Flash player and if it's been updated, and an awful lot of live listeners can't get in the chat room because they're mean, bad IT department. Boo! But nonetheless, thank you very much to all of our live listeners and, of course, the ones that are able to access the chat room. Thank you very much. All of the archive listeners, and there are thousands of you, we thank you very much for tuning in and listening to the archive on iTunes.com, Zoom.com, Podcast.com, and all the others that carry this radio show's archive every single day. All of the over-the-road truck drivers, thank you very much. Thanks for the emails and all your support. Keep the rubber on the road. We know you listen 24/7, and so we're glad that you listen and hope everything is going great back at the homestead you leave home every week for to make a living. Thanks for tuning in. And all the feed and seed stores across this great land that stream this radio show live, thank you so much for doing so. Hope business as well. And hello, all you listeners shopping in the feed stores. Fill those buggies, fill those carts, and head on out to the register. So thanks for shopping wherever you're listening to this show. So thank you. Thank you very much. She sounds a little hollow on the voice. I'm using a different microphone today, so I'll have to go back and listen to the archives and see how we got it. I may have to figure out how to hook the headset up to this particular device. So, but no, thank you very much for the sound update, East Dallas Dave. I too will go back and listen to the archive and take a look and see what's going on with that and how it sounds. If I need to make some updates, I will definitely do that. So, thank you very much for the feedback. It is Thursday, our last show of the week, and we have a great one for you. We've got Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. He's going to be joining us here shortly. And a great topic today that interests a lot of people, herbal insect repellents. And so this radio show, probably end around 1 o'clock today. He emailed me early today saying, not a whole ton of information, but so it'll be a little bit shorter show, but we'll end about 1. And as we start the long weekend, and we hope you will have a wonderful, wonderful weekend with family and friends. I did have some chickens in the news to share, actually. And hello, Christmas Chick. Thank you very much for joining us in the chat room. And, of course, the East Dallas Dave and Bard Rock and several guests today. So thank you very much. I was in there. I'm actually kind of we've launched our brand-new website. There's still a little things I want to change. I was reading over it last night, a few little wording changes and a few different thing changes here and there, but just minor things here and there. But it is launched, and you can visit that at chickenwhisperer.com. If it shoots you over to the old one, you may have to delete your cookies or your cash or what have you delete your memory, whatever. So it actually it'll point to the correct servers now where our website is hosted, and I have new email. It's all being transferred over. So we're really happy with that. There's some other things we want to do with the website. We are not going to have a blog on the website. You know how I feel about blogs and forums. But there will be, and we'll develop this over the next few months, a good information page. It's not going to be tons and tons of stuff. There are books for that. There are other websites for that. There are poultry scientists for that. But it'll probably be, I don't know, maybe we'll just say the top 100 questions for beginners. You know, all as simple as maybe, do I need a rooster to have eggs, all the way up to keeping water or school, you know, just different things like that. One page, and with I'll say not an infinity amount of information, unlimited, but it will be finite. Maybe the top 100 questions, something like that, that people can refer to. And, of course, it'll have information of where that information came from, reliable sources, Dr. Bridget McRae, Ph.D., poultry scientist, chicken doctor, Peter Brown, and things like that, Andrew, so you know you're getting information from the experts that have years and years and years and years and years of training and maybe 40 years of experience doing this, not just someone who's had experience for a year and a half. So we're looking at adding that page. We don't have a store on there right now. We've kind of froze the sales of the Chicken Whisperer T-shirts at this time. We may end up having a store, but it'll just be for Chicken Whisperer gear, not a whole bunch of other stuff that you can find everywhere else. We don't want to reinvent the wheel, so but maybe you have some Chicken Whisperer gear, and we'll try to get some other fun Chicken Whisperer gear other than T-shirts, and some other fun chicken T-shirts as well we've been looking at making. So we're looking forward to that. Maybe this fall we'll have time to do some fun T-shirts other than our just Chicken Whisperer T-shirts, which are a hot seller. So just two more pages, maybe add an information page and then another store, but it'll be a limited store. And we're looking forward to getting that information page up. But it is up, chickenwhisperer.com. And we do have new emails associated with that. And so we've got all that taken. We worked all week on transferring all of this over to our new hosting company. And so if you still are sending emails to the old email, that's fine. They're being forwarded over to our new email. You'll be notified based on that. So we're really, really proud of that, and a few more tweaks, but nonetheless, I like it a lot better than the old one. I'm kind of in a pickle. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the maps, and I'm just trying to figure out where I want to go. And I'm for our next book tour. I'm not really sure but next book tour with Tractor Supply, probably sometime in September or October. And I'm just not really sure where I'm gonna go yet. I'm kind of looking over towards. I'd like to, you know, head out Alabama, Mississippi, maybe a little bit of Louisiana and Texas. But we may. Thank you very much, Christian. She must be over at the website taking a look at things, and on our new website. Thank you so much. Lots of little hidden clicks too. I think. That are designed in there to get things that you can click on. So, nonetheless, but so part of me wants to get out west, maybe not any further than Texas, but maybe do a few tours in Texas, maybe Houston area, Dallas. You know, maybe along the way, stop in maybe Mississippi. Pardon me, or Louisiana, and do a couple. And then, of course, part of me wants to get. I got a lot of fans that always comment. Whenever I post, I'm hitting the road up in the Michigan area. So I'm always looking at and Ohio as well and Kentucky. So I'm thinking about that Kentucky, Ohio, Michigan, St. Louis corridor in that area. So I'm not real sure, but I just don't know. I may end up doing that area first before it gets too cold up there and have ice storms, snowstorms, and everything else. And then maybe wait until the November, December tour to head out west towards the Texas so it's not scalding hot out that way. So, yeah, New England, come this fall and you can stay with us. So, I don't know if I'll be heading quite up that way, up towards the coast of New England. I'm trying to think right now next will probably be like, and of course we may do a Tennessee tour. I know Tractor Supply has been wanting me to do a massive event up there. Near their headquarters, they want to film it and have just a media blitz there regarding that and somewhere around the Nashville area. And so we may end up doing a Tennessee tour next, actually. So we'll just have to see. But I'm kind of in a pickle. I've been looking at the map, looking at the roads, looking at the highways, not really sure where I want to go next. So I've got to pinpoint that here in the next couple of weeks and let TSC know the state I want to cover, the states, plural, I want to cover, and dates and kind of the highways that I want to take with the RV and don't want to take with the RV. But the interesting thing was that when we went up through the Carolinas, in the mountains up that way towards Asheville, no worries, no problems. It was quite surprising. In fact, we were told that we were traveling on part of the steepest grade, the side of the Mississippi. And when we got to the top, I looked at Jen and I was like, that was it? Really? I don't know what I was expecting. I guess psyching myself out, but it was one of those things, and handled it just fine, no worries. And then on the way back down 40 out of Asheville, I was a little concerned, and we got to the bottom of that, grade, and I was like, that was it? So we're ready to tackle pretty much anything after tackling that, and which ended up being pretty much a non-issue. So maybe look at going and heading over to doing some events in the Nashville, Tennessee area. So we'll just have to see. But I've been looking at that, and we always have a great time on the Chicken Whisperer events. All events include a book signing, a two-hour Getting Started with Backyard Poultry workshop, pictures, autographs, fun times, great prizes we give away, all kinds of trivia prizes, door prizes. We really, really have a good time. That Dave is saying, you ought to wait until November. The daily high should be under 90. Yeah, that pretty much eliminates anything out west, Dave, and I appreciate that because that's just the biggest issue there. So maybe we wait until November or the first couple of weeks of December to do the Texas thing. How did the John Deere shoot go? Well, let me tell you, out of all the photo shoots I've done, out of all the interviews I've done, probably not going to rank up there in the top 100. So not to shoot myself in the foot, but it was, let's just say, I recommended he get here in the morning where it was a little bit cooler. The lighting would have been a lot better for the shoot. And and he got here at 4 o'clock, actually about a quarter of 4, hottest part of the day, okay? No, I mean, he was scheduled for it. I tried to get him to show up. He said, no, I think I'm going to show up around afternoon, evening, about 4 o'clock. Okay, your call. And so he got over here, hottest part of the day. He gets here, and he just started, it's interesting, great guy, very, very nice, but he started sweating like a stuffed pig. I mean, really, and he was just like, oh, my gosh. And then the gnats, we're below the gnat line, which is really about Macon, Georgia, south. We're below the gnat line. So they don't really, in fact, it was funny because he said, the gnats not bother you. He's looking over at me and none were flying around me. And, yeah, they bother me sometimes. It all depends on how humid and whatnot it is. They'll buzz around my ear, my nose, and my eyes and things. But they were attacking him like he was a Yankee coming down here for the first time. Even though he came over, I think, from Birmingham. So so the gnats must have realized that he was not from these parts. And, man, they were attacking him like crazy. And so between him sweating, I mean, his pants were drenched, oh, my gosh. And the gnats, he was not a happy camper. And so initially he was going to do video, and he was going to take a video. And I'd like to do a video interview, too, for about 15 minutes. I'm like, it's fine, whatever, We got this time blocked off. No worries at all. Well, he pulled out all his video equipment, and he had a lot of it. He was setting it by his car. And I think with the heat bearing down on him, the gnats flying around his face and his clothes looking like he just walked out of a pool, I think he very quickly said, I think I'm going to, very tactfully, I don't think I'm going to do video. I don't think I'm going to need it, and I think I'll just not even worry about setting this up. Like, okay, no problems. Whatever you want to do or don't do is fine with me. I'm just hanging out. So that was very interesting. And it, obviously, in the back of my mind going, yeah, it's hot. I wouldn't want to sit there and unpack all that equipment and set it up and do light checks and then for a 15-minute interview either at 4:15 in the afternoon in South Georgia on a hot, hot, humid day with gnats flying around my face. So so the video was nicked. I didn't even know he was going to do the video, but he thought about it. So anyway, put that up. And then we get the RV in position because that was the whole deal, traveling the country, spreading the chicken love. And so he thought that was great. We travel as a family all across the country, spreading the chicken love. And so he wanted a picture, in front of the RV. So no problem. We had it all washed and detailed, the SUV too. And I told him kind of my ideas, and he kind of concurred about that. So I moved the RV and car in position, and he pulls out all this camera equipment. And, I mean, I know, I, I think it's important to get a great shot, especially if you're making a living doing this and it's going into, 800,000 people subscribe to John Deere Magazine and are going to get this thing. And so, I was like, whatever. But he was pulling out these things that, the big silver umbrellas to direct the light. I mean, here it is, 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's hot. You're sweating. Gnats flying around. We're having to blow gnats out of our face just to smile for the picture and all. And we're dealing with a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old at the same time. And they were pretty good. But we're all sweating like pigs now. And he's pulling out, these umbrellas that are silver umbrellas and trying to get the lighting directed to our heads or our faces or whatever. And then a neighbor comes by and, no kidding, I should get a John Deere tractor for the shoot. We're sitting on a John Deere tractor for the homestead. Wouldn't that have been awesome? Nope, no John Deere tractor. Sorry, I should have mentioned that, though. Don't I at least get a John Deere hat? So then next thing my neighbor comes by and he puts him to work. He's like, hey, if you don't mind, if you'll be my photo helper here. And he had like this big round disc that was also like aluminum foil. And he says, if you'll just stand right over here and let me get back over here. And he's starting. So we have these umbrellas set up. We've got another person holding like a round disc. It looks like a moon to reflect light. And people are starting to drive by on their golf carts going, what in the world's going on? hey, just photo shoot for John Deere, whatever. So, and the next thing I guess he just thought, I guess he got a few with all the equipment that was out. But then, I'm thinking, hey, working on my suntan with all this, all this light flashing towards me. You're exactly right, Christmas chick in the chat room. So, he was working so hard. And then he finally packed everything up except his camera. Everything was put back in the car except for his digital camera. And he just said, hey, we'll just roll with it. And what was I going to say? Oh, and he was having a little bit of issues with his camera. I don't know if he said he hadn't used it in a while or it was set wrong or whatever. And so we're all out there just sweltering hot while he was trying to play around and fix his camera. And I kind of whispered to Jen, I was like, if I was going to travel 4 hours for a photo shoot, I think I'd have been a little bit more prepared. But, again, he may be listening, and I'm sorry. We had a good time. And he'll probably put, the ugliest pictures in the magazine now because I'm yapping about the interview, or maybe we won't even be included at all. But it's really for a fun story. And so out of all the ones that we've done over the last 5-6 years of doing these, and then, so he finally just took some pictures with a digital camera here and there and got that done. Then, wait, it's not over yet. we say goodbye, shake his hand, all is well. We get inside, and then I see him starting, and I come back into the back room, and I look out, and he's still in our backyard. I mean, this is like 15 minutes later. And he's pulled out all his gear. He's looking through all his gear, and he's in the car and all this stuff. And he finally knocks on the door, and he says, do y'all have a phone I can borrow? Well, sure. So Jen goes and gets her cell phone and hands it to him. And he says, if you don't mind calling my cell phone number, I've lost my cell phone. So he's out there 15, 20 minutes looking for a cell phone. And then we look at the yard. We look around the camper. No, nowhere to be found. And of course, he called me when he was about an hour out. So we knew he had it in the car somewhere. And I said, it's probably in one of those bags. You unpacked a lot of stuff. You repacked a lot of stuff very quickly trying to get the thing done. It was hot. You're getting flustered. There's probably somewhere in all those bags you pulled out that you said decided not to use he finally just said, well, if it's lost, it's lost. If it's not, it's not. I'll find it later. And about an hour later, after he had actually physically left and drove off to go to his next photo shoot, he called me from his phone. I found it. Well, I was riding down the road, and I heard something go ching, ding, 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 which means I got a message. So it had fallen between the seat and in between the seats or something like that. So I had his phone. And so it was very interesting. I say that, again, I hope it'll be a good article now that I've told you about the photo shoot or maybe he'll end up deleting it. But since you asked, it was a very interesting photo shoot with John Deere Magazine. And so, if you would have been there, you would have got a little chuckles here and there. But let me tell you, he truly looked like he had gotten out of a swimming pool and with this just haze of gnats flying around him. You know, he was frustrated and so stressed out and having to do all this, and he just wasn't really expecting that. But, I mean, I tried to tell him, you can get here at probably around 9 or 10. The lighting will be right. It won't, you know. I was thinking about, okay, 4 o'clock rolls around, the hottest part of the day in South Georgia. It's humid. You know, it's been raining every day in the afternoons. We got gnats everywhere. And, yeah, I don't think he's going to want to come back to South Georgia anytime soon, at least not to do a photo shoot. it was fun times, believe me. I was grinning and having a great time inside while biting my lip and trying to smile and blow gnats off my eyes at the same time. But it was fun. It was very, very fun. Oh, man, how about some herbal insect repellent? How about that? We're going to be talking about that today, and we're going to go ahead and go to the phone lines. We're going to see the switchboard, and we're going to bring on our good friend, here we go, Richard Frutenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Hey, Richard.
Hey, how are you doing, Andy?
I'm doing pretty good. Hanging in there. Can't complain. One day at a time is all we can ask for. Hey, I know that you didn't know this, Richard, and many of our listeners didn't know this, but I think today I'm going to give away another one-year subscription to your great publication, Back Home Magazine. So,
oh, that's great.
Once we're done talking about herbal insect control, then we'll let you get back to your work, and I will have a little contest here, and we'll try to give away a 1-year subscription to Back Home Magazine today before we end the show to one lucky listener. I know we've got one listener in the chat room right now, Christmas Chick, and she was one of the winners of the last two that we've given away, and she often comments about how much she loves the magazine and what's not to love. So let me just tell folks right now, if you can't stay for the whole show, we hope you can. It'll be a little bit shorter today. But backhomemagazine.com, pretty simple to remember. You love it when Richard's on the second and fourth Thursday of every month with all his great information, and so that means you'll love his publication. Again, backhomemagazine.com, and you can they've got phone numbers there. You can call and talk to a real live human being in North Carolina, or you can order online, and it's a great value for what you get. But we will be giving away a 1-year subscription today to one lucky listener. So thanks for joining us, and hope you're doing well. And I guess we can go ahead and get started talking about herbal insect repellents.
Yeah. I guess with all the rain we've been having in the southeast, and I don't really know what the weather has been like in every other part of the country, but I know a good portion of the U.S. has had an overdose of rain. I mean, I think we're 23 inches above our normal level for the middle of July at this point, or maybe it was the end of June. 23 inches is about half of our annual rainfall here, so it's a lot of rain. I mean, it's a weather record, and the rain brings on the mosquitoes, as we all know. That's probably the biggest problem that, you know, a lot of folks are having right now, as far as beyond the flooding and the erosion and the and all that kind of thing. I mean, as far as actual effects, normal effects, standing water and the excess of rain and growth of weeds and grass and everything else has really impacted us as far as the mosquito population. And you know, it's been a real issue. And of course, we all know mosquitoes carry their vectors or carriers of a lot of or several diseases that are, you know, not unpleasant and occasionally fatal, on rare occasions, but they're you know, they can make you sick. They're certainly not comfortable to get bitten by mosquitoes, and when you have a number of bites, it can be a real issue. You know, a number of health-related problems that are connected to mosquito bites, and you know, we're always aware of that. But just from the unpleasantness of it, it's just a really good idea to be aware of the fact that you need protection when you're working outside. I mean, it, above and beyond the protection that we should be taking from, you know, ticks and other biting insects, you know, the mosquito repellents are actually a lot, you can get by with a lot less toxic chemicals than what's contained in some of the products. I mean, DEET is the component of most of the commercial products, and you know, it's not necessarily a poison, but it does have a it does in large quantities. It is toxic, and it does have a bad effect on the some of the other wildlife and insects you may not want to hurt or repel for whatever reason. So the idea of an herbal repellent is what we're talking about here, which is a sort of a safer and more natural way to keep at least the mosquitoes at bay without really harming anything else. So so basically, what I was going to do is we do have a little bit less time today. I'll probably try to cover as much as I can. Basically, what I'm going to do is go over the several methods or several different herbal-based sprays, potions, like liquids or whatever that we can use to keep the keep mosquitoes away. Talk a little bit now in a few minutes about not breeding them in the first place, and then maybe talk a little bit about some of the other options, viable store-bought options, or one at least that is actually pretty benign, pretty good choice. If you not everybody wants to go completely natural or organic, and that's their choice. But there are certain products that are a lot less toxic to the environment and even to yourself than some others. So.
I know that we've got I had a lady that comes on the show talking about essential oils, and she sent me a tiny little bottle of some I think it's called Terra Shield. We haven't tried it yet, and then when I was on this last book tour, actually up there, I was in Newton, and a lady brought me it looks like it's about a 3 or 4 ounce pump bottle full of essential oil / bug spray. Haven't tried it yet either. It is packed, so when we run out of the bottle we currently have, which we found when we were actually we were out in Stone Mountain at the park, and we were setting up, and the mosquitoes were absolutely horrid. And when I was at Publix, matter of fact, I was looking at bug spray, and I found some organic. I guess you'd say over the counter. It was there in the store, and because I wasn't going to get DEET, I wasn't going to get the off, I wasn't going to get the that other popular brand. I can't remember the name of it. But sitting there right up there with it was organic. Or natural bug spray, and I'll see before the end of the show, because I pulled some out to take with us here and in the next couple of days, and I'll see if I still have the name of it, and I'll share with everybody, because of course, it's got citronella in it, but other natural things, and I'll see if I can't get it and give folks the name, because we've tried it, and it does work. It even keeps keep the gnats away down here. We'll put some on our eyebrow around our neck, or just below our hands and rub it on our face, keeps the gnats away and the mosquitoes and things like that. And it doesn't smell that bad, and it is labeled organic, USDA organic. And why, I don't know, Richard. It's still to this day, I guess it's just because of the way I was raised, even though we preach it a lot here. I bought it, and whenever something says organic or all natural or what have you, I'm telling you, I go into it, and I shouldn't do this because just about everything we've tried works amazing. When I go into it, though, I still have my doubts. I'm like, well, I'll buy it this time, and if it doesn't work, I'll just say, oh, well. But it's funny whether it be some medicine for Caleb or something that's, again, the holistic, all natural, or whatever, and it ends up working fabulous. When I go, for some reason, I've just been, I guess, programmed for the first, 20 years of my life, 30 years of my life, that it's just not going to work as good. And so I went into it thinking that, unfortunately, thinking, well, I'll try it, organic. And it works fabulous. So I still having to, the first 20 or 30 years of my life being programmed into that thought process, and I still haven't yet when I go to buy something like that. But it works great, and if we still have it sitting out by the door, I'll get it and share the name of it with everybody because it works pretty good. And for an organic, I say over-the-counter, regular old grocery store buys. First time we had seen it, we tried it, and it worked great.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I often have, within Back Home magazine, we can freely use the word organic, natural, sustainable, those kind of terms. But I realize when I'm talking out in the big world, whatever it is, green build, building conferences or renewable energy, and even especially places where there's a there's a huge mix of mainstream people. I try to back off a little bit from the terminology that might turn people. Some people are turned off, or some people are just skeptical about it. But what I need to say is that you have to remember that most or many, I should say, many of the commercial chemical based products that are used to repel insects or apply in the garden or whatever it is that they are doing are based on totally organic and natural products. They're just the chemicals are just replicating the natural ingredients in the original product. So if a company wanted to base a commercial product on citronella, for example, they would go in there, take apart, deconstruct citronella, and figure out which chemicals are making citronella work the way it works, and then just replicate at a cheaper cost, duplicate a synthetic product that is based on the natural one. So you got to, if you think about it that way, you realize that they're just basing it on something that worked anyway. I mean, that's the story of how fertilizer came about. And I know it's a little bit off topic, but the British, this is back in the 1800s, the British government, the great commercial enterprise that they were at the time, they were actually exporting bat guano from South America to supplement gardens all over the world. You know, the British the sun never sets and all that kind of stuff, and they were selling bat guano as fertilizer, as a commercial product, until a guy named Fritz Haber, who, if anybody can from Wikipedia can look it up online using Wiki or anything else. Fritz Haber was a German chemist, and he said, why on earth are you doing that? We can just make it. We can just replicate it. And, they didn't even thought about that. And, of course, that was in the early days of chemistry. He just went in. And so essentially overnight, an entire industry was born where they didn't have to send ships all the way to South America. They could just synthesize it out of hydrocarbons. And so, that's how things sort of developed over the years. And, look where we are now. But now we're back to natural growing products. So what I think I want to do is talk a little bit about how to avoid mosquitoes in the first place. With all this rain, I mean, really the biggest thing is to just get rid of standing water in and around the house, whether your yard is, a 100 by 60 lot or whether you've got, a quarter acre or 5 acres or whatever. Of course, you're not going to be able to do a whole lot about, if you've got a lot of acreage to go around and drain every wetland, which would be wrong anyway, but moving water isn't really as much of a problem, but standing water is, and I'm talking about in and around the house, puddles. I've got a rain barrel myself that actually collects, harvests rainwater, but the top of it is a little bit concave, so it collects water. It doesn't take a day or so of, get a little bit of sunlight, you get the standing water, a little bit of green algae on there, and those mosquito larvae just absolutely love it. So the point is, in that case, I just put a little cover, I found a piece of PVC sheet from something else totally different. It could be metal or anything. I just covered up the top of that barrel with this little sheet of plastic or PVC, and just so the rain water drains off, it doesn't stand there. You may be tempted to put some motor oil or something. That's probably not a good idea. It will stop the mosquito larvae, but it is, when it rains the next time, it's gonna send that oil, waste oil or motor oil or whatever, down into the soil, which in which case it'll eventually work its way into the deep into the soil and make harmful residue there. So you don't really want to do that. Possibly a little bit of vegetable oil might dissipate a little bit and cause that. But the easiest thing is just to get rid of the water to begin with. And as I said, it could be a puddle, it could be a low spot in the driveway. You can fill in with some gravel or make a drain, slope it a little better so it drains off. Cover your any surface like a rain barrel or a garbage can or something that might collect water. Make sure that's set at an angle that the water drains off. Don't leave any lids to garbage cans, old hubcaps, any vessel or anything shaped like a saucer that can hold water, just turn that stuff over upside down, get rid of it, whatever it takes. Just do not allow your water to stand in and around the yard, because that's where those mosquitoes are going to breed, and it really does not take long at all for that to happen. So that's sort of the preventative lesson. But once the mosquitoes are out and about, I would say the first thing, the easiest thing is, one of the easiest things is actually just sage. And sage is available, you know, anywhere, health food stores, places where you buy handmade jewelry, or just, you know, smoke shops. I mean, just a lot of places that sell natural stuff, you know, a clothing store, maybe a little mom and pop or a little downtown clothing store which has, you know, sort of a collection of neat stuff and whatever. There'd be a lot of places that maybe just sell jewelry and herbal stuff and sage, whatever, just as a sort of incense. And so if you can get raw, you can buy the sage already dried. Of course, that's a little more expensive, but you can also pick sage raw and just wrap the buds in string. A kite string is excellent, or some kind of thinner string, and that just binds the loose buds of whole sage on the stalk. It just binds them up into a tight little package. So you can wrap them, you know, just wrap it around, make a couple dozen wines probably, and go back again and make like a little webbing, a little netting out of it, and just tie it off and just hang. You can hang the green herb stalks upside down in a warm, dry place where there's light, and just let the stalks dry and let the buds dry on the stalk. And then once it's dry, all you need to do is lay it down. It's either stand it up on its stalk, or lay it down in an ashtray or some on a plate or something where you're not going to let the ashes burn anything, and just light the end of it and set it on fire. And if it's dry enough, it'll burn for 2 to 3 hours, it'll let off a very pleasant smelling incense smoke. It's not a dense smoke by any means. It may look like that coming off the stalk at first, but it'll dissipate immediately and fill the room with a real nice scent, and which doesn't stay forever. I mean, that scent dissipates within about 8 hours. And it works in the house or out of the house. You can at campsites or if you're sitting outside on the porch or wherever you might sit on the deck or whatever. Just a tray of this sage burning is going to clear the air pretty much of gnats and mosquitoes in and around the immediate area very effectively. And I said it may burn for 2 hours, maybe three, and that's really all you need. And that's it's a real inexpensive, effective way of doing it. And and you can either make it yourself or you can buy the finished dried stalks from the store, a health food store, or other places I mentioned.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing, and actually that's an Indian or Native American technique that they used. Ostensibly, a lot of that was we say they burn sage before ceremonies to rid the area of negative vibes, whatever. I think it just sort of is calming and sort of gets all those emotions calmed down, and that was one thing. And also, I'm pretty sure they probably did it as well in a very practical way to just keep the bugs away. If you're going to be sitting through a ceremony, it's like sitting in church for 2 hours, a long sermon, and it's 101 degrees outside. It's like if you're in a ceremony for 2 hours, two or three hours outdoors, and you don't want to be bitten by gnats and bothered by gnats and bitten by mosquitoes. So I'm sure they had some practical applications as well. That's the sage approach. It's a very common thing. There's a lot of several other things anyway that you can use. Citronella is another thing. You can buy citronella candles that are scented, or you can buy oils that are based in citronella. But make it yourself. Just essential oil from the health food store, the herbal shop, or wherever online you buy your essential oils. Or if you don't buy them, you can look for them and be a buyer. It's actually a grass. Citronella is a tall grass, and the oil is extracted from the grass. You don't have to buy the grass and do it yourself. You can buy the essential oils. It's really easy. Just a couple of drops of citronella oil and some alcohol. Now, in this case, I don't know why, and I'm not so sure that it may work either way, several ways, but. The recipe calls for one drop of citronella essential oil to two parts of ethyl alcohol. Now, I didn't say isopropyl. Isopropyl alcohol is a rubbing alcohol.
Right.
In this case, it's not isopropyl. It's ethyl alcohol. Now, ethyl alcohol is what they make E10 out of. Ethanol is ethyl alcohol. Ethanol is used in what we used to call gasohol, and now we call it E10. Almost every pump in the country, when you pump your regular unleaded fuel, is actually 10% ethyl alcohol. It's not easy to buy ethyl alcohol in small quantities. The only way you can do it effectively is to buy Everclear, I guess, at the liquor store, a state liquor store, I'm not sure every state has a state liquor store, but some states have just private liquor stores that do that, but it's called Everclear. It's just pure grain alcohol, and I'll say that right on the bottle. It's a lot cheaper buying it that way than it is going to a commercial chemical supply and trying to buy a pint or a quart or whatever, or a barrel of it. If you substitute Everclear pure ethyl alcohol with something else like vodka or some other liquor, it's going to carry the scent of that liquor with it, which you really don't want to do. Ethyl alcohol in its pure form, or as Everclear, is odorless, and it does evaporate fairly quickly, so it just leaves no residue at all. But when it's mixed with the citronella oil, you know, whether it's making a larger batch, you know, 1 ounce of citronella to 2 ounces of Everclear, that's okay. Or if you just want to make a little bit, you know, two drops of citronella to 4 drops of ethyl alcohol is okay, but I'm not so sure that it wouldn't work with rubbing alcohol. But that's not the recipe or the ingredient I see here. It may be that rubbing alcohol has some other ingredients in it, or it may just be that the person who's writing this article for us may have been a much more natural, organic person and realizes that isopropyl is a synthesized alcohol. It's made from, sometimes they make it from propylene or from propane or natural gas or coal or other hydrocarbons, and maybe they just didn't want to get involved with asking people to mix that in Back Home magazine. So basically a distilled, much more natural form of distilled ethyl alcohol or Everclear from potatoes or from corn or wherever it might have come from is going to be a much more natural way of doing it. So I think that's probably more likely. So I'm just going to stick with that's my story. I'm going to stick with it. It's one part of citronella to two parts of ethyl alcohol, which is called Everclear in layman's terms. So, you know, that's just a little oil you can rub on your skin after you've mixed it up, and it'll evaporate. The liquid part will evaporate fairly quickly, and the oil will stay on the skin, much diluted, and it'll keep your mosquitoes and bugs away from you. And it's totally harmless. It's not a drink. It's a topically applied lotion that you put on your skin. So that's that's cheap. It's effective, and I don't really know how long it would keep. I think in the refrigerator it may keep longer, but this is sort of a one-time application. It's it may last a day or so in a little bottle on the kitchen. Well, I'm sure it'll probably last longer than that. But I mean, I would use this as I made it. So if you're going on a camping trip, you can make a little bottle of it and then just use it up during the trip, during the 2-3 days you're on the trip, or 1 day, whatever, and then make a new batch the next time. Another application is that made out of cloves, and moths and mosquitoes and other flying insects don't like the scent of cloves. So that's another good application. They're also inexpensive. Traditionally, what's happening is you're taking the clove buds, you know, the sort of spiky little buds that we know as cloves, and get a thin-skinned orange. If you can shop for a thin-skinned orange, a thicker-skinned orange is going to be a little more difficult. It'll still work, but the thinner-skinned oranges or something in the orange family will work just fine. If you take the sharp end of the clove buds and you just stick them into the skin of the orange, so there you get the orange scent and the effect of the cloves, which have been released by the liquid in the, you know, the liquid in the orange is going to help dissipate the scent of that clove, and between the both of them it will just get out into the air. And the way this is done is just take a needle and thread and just go through the orange with a needle and thread, just like making old timey Christmas decorations. You know, just run that thread through. You can tie up, if you want to, you can tie a button on the end of the thread before you thread it through the orange, but you don't have to. You just tie a big knot on the end and just pass it once through the orange, or once or twice, whatever, and just hang the orange. You make a number of them, half a dozen of them, clove studded oranges, and just hang. If you're going camping, you just want to hang them from bushes and branches and anything else you have around the campsite or table where you are, and that will effectively do its best to repel mosquitoes and other flying bugs, moths and other things that you don't really necessarily want flying around your picnic table, especially at night. So when you're eating, so you can just do it that way, and you know, of course they're pleasantly scented, so they don't. It wouldn't hurt to have one or two just on the table or whatever, just right close there to keep those bugs away. And that, again, I mean, that's pretty inexpensive. Another remedy calls for eucalyptus and lemon. That's fairly easy. You can make a spray out of it. The eucalyptus oil is available, again, the same place the citronella oil would be. You can mix 4 ounces of water in a container with 10 drops of lemon-scented eucalyptus oil, or you can just take eucalyptus oil and put a few drops of lemon in it, or lemon extract in it. So you mix the 10 drops of eucalyptus oil / lemon oil with about 4 ounces of water, and shake it up well and put it in a spray bottle, and you've got you've got a pretty good application for a spray on. Another way of doing it, if you don't mind a little bit of initial odor, is to use the same 10 drops of lemon scented eucalyptus oil in 4 parts of white vinegar, and that's a little stronger mix, but it's going to also smell like white vinegar at first. Now, a lot of people, you know, when they open the white vinegar, I use it to clean my cutting board. It's really inexpensive and really effective at cleaning a cutting board. It does smell like white vinegar, which I've gotten used to, you know, now, but it doesn't smell like white vinegar forever. It really dissipates very quickly, and it's also a good carrier of, a good vehicle to carry the oils on. Instead of water, it's a little stronger, and you're not mixing as much of the white vinegar in this time. So that's a good topical application or spray if you want, whereas the odor of the vinegar will be a little bit knocked down by the lemon scent and also and the eucalyptus, and also it does not linger forever. The vinegar smell will go away, and the rest of it will stay pleasantly. So that's another spray or possible rub-on topical applicant. Garlic, now that's an old-time remedy, whatever. Basically, if everybody eats a couple of cloves of garlic, it doesn't affect you as much. If you do it the same day, really the best way to do it is to a week or so before you're actually going to go on a camping trip where you know you're going to have an insect, or pretty much assume you're going to have an insect trip. If everybody in the family or everybody going on the trip would eat, you know, a clove of garlic a day or something like that, it gets into the bloodstream, and actually when you sweat, perspire, it that's what causes the effect, breathing and also the causing the effect of chasing away the mosquitoes just through the sweat pores and breathing out. It's the garlic is a natural repellent for you know for mosquitoes. So you know that's a good point. If people can if everybody does it, then it's not so offensive. The other thing is just as an aside, if you cut a clove of or cut or crush a clove of garlic, if you're bitten, you can just apply the clove, the wet part of the clove and oily part to the insect bite. And it doesn't have to be just mosquitoes. I mean, there's, it'll work for spiders and other insects. It pretty much soothes it immediately. It's a really nice natural soother for insect bites. And that's, you know, the you know, people buy this green stuff or whatever it is. You do, you know, that's not... I mean, it's not really all that expensive, but cutting a clove of garlic in half and, or crushing the a clove into pieces is just so much cheaper, and it works as well, just as well. And, you know, when you do cut that clove, the people who work, who, you know, use garlic in cooking, they know it's sort of an oily, you know, it has that feel to it. So that's really what you're looking for. And that placed on a bug bite immediately takes away the itching and you know, sort of soothes it. So that's you know, it's a good thing to take with you on a camping trip, is just in case you do get the kids or you or whatever get bitten, you know, a good sharp knife and a couple of cloves of garlic is really a good thing to take along. Feverfew is another herb that people don't it comes in leaf form that people may not have heard of. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people.
I've never heard of it. Pronounce that again for us.
Feverfew, just like a fever, cold headache fever, F-E-V-E-R, and it's all one word, feverfew, F-E-W, and you can Google it. It's just taking some picked leaves, some freshly picked leaves, and you can just use them mixed in with a little bit of rubbing alcohol, and this is isopropyl alcohol. I mean, this would be in a case where where it would work with rubbing alcohol, and I'm sure it would still work with Everclear or ethyl alcohol as well. But we'll stick with the recipe here as it is: a little bit of rubbing alcohol, some crushed up, either soaked or just crushed up feverfew leaves, and then applied to the skin. It is another pretty effective insect repellent, but mainly for black flies. For the people folks who are listening, who are up in the New England area and upper Midwest, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Black fly season is a real bothersome time for a lot of people. I have here in North Carolina mountains, we don't have that problem, and I'm sure other places in the South don't have that problem. But in certain parts of the country, it's a real issue. The feverfew alcohol. Rubbing alcohol mixture is especially effective against keeping those black flies at bay. Lavender, another very common oil, essential oil. You can buy it at the health food store and other online and other places. The recipe for that is one part lavender essential oil to two parts of Everclear or ethyl alcohol. Again, it's a dab on application or a rub on application. The alcohol just is a vehicle to help thin out the oil and let it go on more effectively, and it dries without any real effect, and then the oil lavender oil stays behind. It's very pleasant smelling, and it also has some topical effects as being a soother and calmer and make you feel a little better, you know, that kind of thing. It's spread on the face, especially it'll get up into your nasal passages and really sort of calm things out, you know, calm things down a little bit, chill out kind of thing. Lemon balm, that's another one. Lemon balm is something that you can either rub directly on the skin or smear it over and around the areas where you're going to be eating at a picnic table or a campsite. You can even throw it into a campfire to help dissipate the oils. So immediately around the campfire, it will help repel insects. You know, that's as far as the organic or I just call it natural repellents here. You know, the citronella, the cloves, the garlic, the eucalyptus, lemon, feverfew, lavender, and lemon balm. I'm just going to talk real briefly on, since it's approaching 1 o'clock, just real briefly on another product which actually isn't you know, totally organic, but it's a pretty good application. People have probably seen them. They're called Mosquito Dunks. In fact, Mosquito Dunks is a trade name, and I'm pretty sure that other companies make this similar product that isn't called Dunks or Mosquito Dunks directly, but it's something like that.
Are those little round donut things?
Yeah, exactly. They're round donut things.
Like the sketch.
Yeah, they're actually a bacteria. That's a bacterial approach to it. They're manufactured little donut things that are, you know, just really an inch or so across a disc, you know, an inch or so across, like a very small donut, looks like a very, very small donut. You know, they're dumped into, they float on standing water. If you can't, you know, if you have a place where water does stand, like in a drainage ditch or something like that, you can just chuck, according to the instructions, of course, they're available all over the place, big box stores, hardware stores, whatever. They usually come in a pack of six, and, you know, six is standard. I think they sell two packs as well, and then probably volume. But anyway, just thrown into any place where water stands and or drains and stands and drains and stands and that kind of thing, it is a bacillus or a bacteria based substance. The active ingredient is called BTI, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the chemical / Greek name of the stuff, but BTI is the easiest way to look for it on the label. It's just a bacterium that directly attacks mosquitoes in the larvae stage. And not only does it affect them in the larvae stage before they actually become flying insects, but it also is very specific to mosquitoes and not to other living things like fish or frogs or other butterflies or anything else that you don't want to hurt. But it's also, on top of all that, it's totally biodegradable. So after a period of time, they will totally dissipate, and after they've done their work, and you don't have to worry about, was there any residue, is this going to flush down into the drain system and into the water supply and all that, they're biodegradable. So this is a commercial product that really is very benign, so that's something else. The only thing else I was going to mention, which I can do really quick, is that once you are bitten by a mosquito, aloe, that good old reliable burn solvent, you know, keep an aloe plant around in and around the kitchen, cut the leaf off, squeeze the goop out of the center of the leaf, which is the natural aloe gel, and just rubbing a little bit of that gel part of the aloe leaf onto your bite or your burn would be you know, a good resolution for the itching and just the pain of the initial bite. Another thing that really works really well is witch hazel. And just in closing, just to mention that you can buy witch hazel at the CVS or the Walgreens, whatever, as the chemical based synthesized witch hazel, or you can go to your health food store or other natural food store, or possibly even some of those drug stores that I mentioned, or commercial stores may even have the natural form of it made from the actual tree that it comes from, which the natural form of it is considerably more expensive. It's not outrageous. I mean, I've bought witch hazel for maybe $1.99 for a pint, and you might pay $4 or $5 for a pint of the other naturally sourced witch hazel. But you need to buy the naturally sourced witch hazel, which you'll say very clearly on the label that it's not a chemical, but it's derived from the tree, and that is also a mix it with a tablespoon or so of witch hazel, or a teaspoon, small amount like that, just add a drop or two, just enough to make a paste out of it, and then apply that paste onto the bite or the burn even, and it's really a cooling. It's an estrogen. It just helps clean and cool. And with the baking soda, it's also a cleanser and also a way to help it stick as a paste onto your skin. So that's another thing you would make just for one-time use and then get rid of the, you know, just make enough to use that one time, and the next time you need to make it, just take a little baking soda and make it over again. So these are all, you know, with the caveat that they're all keeping your eye open for real ethyl alcohol in the form of Everclear or real witch hazel in the form of the tree-based, tree-sourced product, which is going to be maybe three times more expensive or two and a half times more expensive than the old normal cheapo chemical stuff. These are the ingredients, in addition to all the other things I mentioned, like the sage, the garlic, the feverfew, and all that, that will make the herbal repellents much more effective, as long as you use the right, the right ingredients. So that's, it's in a nutshell. I've tried a couple of these things. The sage I've used before, the citronella, the witch hazel, the baking soda, and the garlic, and the eucalyptus oil. All are effective, effective ingredients. And you can look at the cost of any of these things, make some shop comparisons, and maybe even just buy a little bit of everything, and just because there's other uses for all the essential oils as well. So, but you can make little test samples. You know, does the eucalyptus work better than the feverfew, or does the garlic work better than the lavender, or whatever? You do it that way, or you can just sort of settle with something you're comfortable with and stick to it. But there's other ways other than buying the off and the cutters and the other deep based applicants applications that can be harmful to other forms of wildlife, and also possibly with you, especially people who do use it a lot, like people who work outdoors or hunters or whatever, who really dose up with it. Over time, it's not particularly healthy. I'm not going to say it's toxic. I mean, everything can be toxic if you drink enough of it, but that's in the sense that you use it, it's not necessarily absolutely toxic, but it certainly over the long term is not as healthy as applying some of the more natural things like sage or lavender or whatever. So you've got a good little option here, and certainly is the season to be talking about keeping bugs away. So that's.
There was a question in the chat room, Richard, from Hard Rock. Does Richard have a natural remedy to repel Japanese beetles?
Not offhand. No, I mean I'm sure there is, and I think we've even done something. I am sure we've done something I know there is a companion planting schedule or regimen, method for planting in and among the plants like roses or whatever that the Japanese beetles are particularly prone to attacking. You can plant other things like marigolds or whatever. It may not be that, but I know there is a companion planting method for doing it that way, and I'm pretty sure we have run in a letter or maybe as part of an article a spray or some type of an application that you can use to deal with them. I mean, I know a lot of people just pick them, physically picking them off or using a soap-based spray to get rid of the beetles is one option. You just have to keep after it. It's not like a lot of the commercial applications where you do it once and it's done forever, but you've also killed forever a lot of the other things you don't want to hurt. So I would, if you look online on the back home page, halfway down this little thing, it says search our online database, and there may be some information in there about some back articles or letters we've had on that topic.
Perfect. All right. Well, I'm going to add one more thing as well. It's a product from a good friend of mine, Patrick Haley, who owns a lot of the Carefree Enzymes. And he's got a product as well that you can put in bird baths and in your chicken waterers. A lot of folks to prevent disease, and it's called Water Protector. And ManaPro actually does the labeling for that and the distribution. So you could probably go to ManaPro.com and take a look under chicken supplies and find it there. I know Tractor Supply actually carries it. But it's called Water Protector, and it uses all natural enzymes, and it truly will keep the mosquitoes down. And he was on our show a while back, was talking about it and the dunks, and I like that idea about throwing the dunks out into kind of a ditch or something that may contain the water. But he said that it's not so great for the birds if you're going to put it in a bird bath. But regarding that, what it's made out of. But the water protector, being all natural and all natural enzymes, will work just fine, say, in the bird bath or your chicken water or even other places you want to try to treat that water all naturally. So, again, that's called a water protector. And you can probably go to Carefree Enzymes website as well and get some information about that and find out where to buy it locally as well and online. And we've used it in the past as well, water protector. So I wanted to add that as well. We're talking about mosquito dumps and things like that. So, well, Richard, thank you very much for coming on today. Just a couple of minutes. We're going to be, after this next commercial break, we're going to be giving away a one-year subscription to your magazine. And somebody will be very, very lucky today listening live. And I'll get to that information and the winner's information a little bit later, probably later in the week or next week, so we can get their subscription going on for the next year. So, as always, the second and fourth Thursday of every month, folks, right here, Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. You'll love it when he's on the show. Shares wonderful information with us, and 10 times that amount is in his publication, Back Home Magazine, backhomemagazine.com. So, Richard, thank you so much for coming on today. We appreciate you, and we'll see you back here, I guess, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I guess August 8th, we're going to talk about protecting trailers from theft, which is sort of a very specific application. But I think a lot of folks probably have boat trailers, horse trailers, you know, garbage trailers, campers, utilities trailers, log splitters, all sorts of stuff they would love to be able to leave on the back of their cars while they park at the National Forest or go and get shopping or something like that. Because I know that, you know, especially these days with the way the economy is going, that a lot of those trailers aren't there when you come back. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a great topic we haven't had before, so very good. We'll start promoting that on Facebook and Twitter as the show comes closer. And hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you back in a couple of weeks. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, that's Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Stay with us because we're going to be giving away a one-year subscription to Back Home Magazine right after this short break.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink.
Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And just posted over on our Facebook page during the show about the importance that if you have a sick rooster or hen, that is very important to isolate it immediately. Especially if you have no clue what it may or may not have. It could be highly contagious to your other flock. And instead of maybe losing one bird, you lose them all. Being able to, instead of treating one bird, treating them all. So it is very important to isolate those sick birds. You know, just like Peter Brown says, go out there with a 5-gallon bucket, sit around, watch your birds on a regular basis. See what's going on with them. See if any are acting differently. Try to nip it in the bud. But if you do see a sick or injured bird, you need to isolate it immediately and keep it isolated until, for the most part, treatment is finished. Also, if you ever purchase chickens, think about if you go to an auction and you're purchasing birds, why are they selling them? Are they there bad birds? Are they culls? Are they sick? Are they injured? What's the deal? Why are they selling them to begin with, especially if they're hens? But if you add any type of chickens or if you go and buy any types of baby chicks, started birds, layers, whatever, wherever you buy them, maybe you go to the cleanest homestead you've ever seen in your entire life. And you buy those birds, our baby chicks, our started birds, or you go to the auction, or you go to a poultry show, please keep those birds isolated and quarantined for 30 days while you look for any snifflies, sneezies, and snotty birds, and coughing, and mites, and lice, and all of those issues, 30 days before you start to incorporate them with your existing flock. Please do so. Very, very important. Alrighty. No, it has nothing to do with that Christmas chick. So, no worries. I had just posted it over on my Facebook page. Something that entered my brain while the show was going on. And go, alrighty, we're going to give away a 1-year subscription to Back Home Magazine. I know you're going to love this magazine. It is awesome. It comes out every other month, and it's chock full of pertinent information. A lot, you know, Jen made the mention the other day. We were standing in the grocery store aisle, and she said, just picked up a magazine, hoping maybe to read it while we're on the road. She's like, there's nothing but ads. That's all this is ads. Hey, we got to pay the bills. I get that. But a magazine, she said, it's nothing but ads. If you compare our radio show with any other radio show on the planet and any TV show on the planet, we have far less commercial time than most all of those on the planet. So, Richard's magazine is not like that. It has a lot of awesome, useful information. BackHomeMagazine.com. If you don't win today and you're interested in wanting to subscribe, I guarantee it'll be one of your favorite magazines you get delivered to your home on a regular basis. Alrighty, we're going to just take, we'll do caller number 10. How simple is that? Caller number 10 right now. No trivia to answer, no tricky questions, no stipulations. Caller number 10, 347-637-3237 right now. 347-637-3237. Give us a call right now. If you're caller number 10, you'll win this awesome 1-year subscription to BackHomeMagazine.com. If you've won this particular prize in the last 60 days, you are not eligible. But if you have not, again, if you have not won, There we go. All right, let me get back over here to the chat room. Okay, you're in chat rooms. Okay, very good. Okay, let's go over here, over to caller number 10. I was having an issue with my microphone here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on the caller log. Caller calling in from area code 248. You are on the air. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, Andy. It's New Dawn Farm Girl from Michigan.
From Michigan. See, I'm telling you, I've got to get up to Michigan sometime. We were talking about it at the beginning of the show, and I've got lots of listeners up there and lots of fans, and it's just one of these trips I'm just going to have to end up making, but probably not in February. I have to try to schedule around the weather. So, well, congratulations, New Dawn Farm Girl. You're caller number 10. You won a one-year subscription to Back Home Magazine from Richard Frudenberger and Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So let me just give you some information real quick so we can get that information over to Richard and he can get you on the subscription list as soon as possible. That is contest@chickenwhisperer.com. Okay, and we've changed over websites, changed servers, updated email. So contest@chickenwhisperer.com. And I'll need your name, your shipping address. Go ahead and add your phone number in there and your email address. Type your email address under the phone number, and then I will get that over to Richard, and he will get you on that list and start sending you those magazines. This is a complete one-year subscription that you will get. How cool is that? And then, of course, I know with a fact, when you're done, you get that last issue, you'll be like, man, this is the awesome magazine I've ever had. I've got to renew. So, awesome. Congratulations. Thanks for being a long-time listener of the show. And today, yeah, happened to be caller number 10. So, again, you've won that one-year subscription to Back Home Magazine. Well, that's going to wrap up the radio show today, folks. We appreciate you tuning in, all of our live listeners, all of our archive listeners, and everybody else we sent a shout-out to at the beginning of the show. So have a great weekend with family and friends, and we'll see you back here Monday with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, this coming Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. God bless everybody.
Ritter-Cages. Thank you.